Welcome back to the Deep Dive. If you've been doom scrolling through tech news any time in the last, I don't know, 5 years, there is this one narrative that feels a bit like Groundhog Day.
Oh, absolutely. It just keeps replaying.
Right. It's always about shortages. First, it was we can't get enough processors for gaming PCs. Then it was the car manufacturers screaming because they ran out of chips for door locks. And, lately it's all been about this absolute scramble for AI chips. The headlines are always just screaming the exact same thing. We need more brains. We need faster processors.
Yeah, that is the story everybody knows. I mean, it's the story. Stock markets move on. But what if I told you that the headline is actually a massive misdiagnosis?
See, I had a feeling you were going to say that because the sources we have in front of us today, for you, the listener, they paint a much more alarming picture. We aren't just facing a run-of-the-mill shortage.
No, we really aren't.
The industry is experiencing what one of the reports actually calls a silent, massive cardiac arrest.
It's an incredibly vivid description, isn't
Is
it?
it? And the twist here is that it's not happening in the processor. It's happening at the hardware layer that everyone basically ignores until their Google Chrome tabs crash.
Exactly, the memory.
The memory. So just to set the agenda for you today, this deep dive is going to be an autopsy of a crisis that is currently halting humanity's biggest projects.
Yes. We are talking about the bottleneck that is literally stopping artificial general intelligence AGI right in its tracks. And for the people just wanting to relax on a Friday night, it's the reason you might be waiting until 2029 for the PlayStation 6.
Which is a date that physically hurts to say out loud,
Wait.
2029.
I
But
know.
we will definitely get to the gaming tragedy in a bit. So we are doing an autopsy on, and I'm using the official term from the sources here, the memory wall.
Memory wall. We're going to look at why Google is stuck in a supply chain queue, why the gaming industry is basically paralyzed, and the fundamental physics problem that even billions of dollars can't seem to fix.
Okay, let's unpack this because usually when I think of a computer being slow, I think, oh, I need a faster processor, I need a better CPU.
Sure, that's the instinct.
But you're saying the processors are fine.
The processors are better than fine. They are absolute monsters. And honestly, that is actually the problem. Let's start with the AI side of things. We have this fascinating confession in the source material from Demis Hassabis.
The head of Google DeepMind, the guy running the whole show over there.
Exactly. So he recently made this public revelation that completely shifts the narrative. He admitted that the main obstacle to training these massive AI models, we're talking about things like Gemini 1.5 Pro or the upcoming
The
GPT-5,
really big ones.
the massive ones. He said the obstacle is no longer raw GPU power. It's not that the brain isn't fast enough. It's the shortage and the staggering cost of high-speed memory arrays.
So it's a feeding problem.
That is the perfect way to put it. These models are what engineers call memory bandwidth bound. Think about what they actually do. They are processing trillions of parameters. To do that, you have to feed data into the GPU cores, specifically those NVIDIA Hopper and Blackwell architectures that every tech company is fighting over right now.
Right, the golden pickets.
Exactly. And you have to feed them every single millisecond. Standard memory just can't do it.
The report had this analogy that I absolutely loved. It really clarified it for me. It's like owning a Formula One car.
Oh, yeah, it really helps visualize the waste. Imagine you have a 1,000 horsepower Formula One engine. That is your modern GPU. It's an absolute engineering marvel. But instead of a high-pressure fuel injection system, you've hooked it up to a plastic garden hose.
The engine is just sitting there revving, ready to go 200 miles an hour, but it's only getting enough fuel to go maybe 30.
Exactly. The engine is idling, it's starving. And in the world of supercomputing, an idling chip is literally burning money. It's incredibly inefficient. Standard DDR memory, the kind you have in your laptop or your desktop at home, it simply cannot force feed the data fast enough to keep those cores busy.
So, knowing engineers, I assume they didn't just throw their hands up and quit. They created a solution.
They did. It's called HBM, or high bandwidth memory. It is currently the only engineering solution capable of feeding these silicon monsters. If you want to run a cutting-edge AI model today, you absolutely need HBM, period.
Okay, so if we know the solution, we know it's HBM. Why is there a crisis? Why don't we just make more of it? I mean, if everyone wants it, shouldn't factories be churning this stuff out 24/2?
This is where it gets really interesting and where the actual hardware crisis begins. The shortage isn't just about making the memory chip itself. We know how to print memory on silicon. That's old news. The problem is how it's packaged.
Packaging. You mean like putting it in a plastic shell?
No, I wish it were that simple. We are talking about something called CoWoS,
COA.
Yeah.
It sounds like a secret society or something.
It stands for Chip on Wafer on Substrate. It's a highly proprietary technology from TSMC, the Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company. Here's the visual you need. To make HBM work, you can't just lay the memory chips side by side on a motherboard like we used to.
Why not?
The electrical signals take too long to travel that horizontal distance. The commute is too far, so you have to stack the memory dies vertically.
Oh, like a skyscraper of memory.
Exactly, like a skyscraper. And then once you stack them, you have to connect them. You have to drill thousands of microscopic holes down through the silicon layers to create vertical pathways.
Wait, they're actually drilling through the silicon?
Yes. Through chips that are thinner than a human hair, they create thousands of vertical electrical connections. They're called TSVs, or through silicon vias.
Wow.
And then they mount that entire delicate stack right next to the GPU on a special base layer. It is incredibly delicate work. One microscopic misalignment, one speck of dust, and the whole multi-$1,000 chip is trash.
That sounds like an absolute engineering nightmare.
It is. And the root of the crisis is that the global capacity for this specific packaging process, this COBOS technology, is severely constrained. There are very few facilities on Earth that can do this at scale.
So let me get this straight. We have the raw memory chips, but we just can't stack them and connect them fast enough.
Precisely. And you can't just snap your fingers and build a new facility. Building these advanced packaging plants takes years. It takes billions of dollars.
Right.
You need clean rooms that are exponentially cleaner than a hospital operating theater. You need highly specialized machines that currently have two-year waiting lists. It is not a problem you can solve by just throwing Silicon Valley venture capital at it.
That's the money can't buy time dynamic that the sources emphasize.
Right. The result is that global capacity is sold out years in advance. Even giants like Google companies with effectively infinite money are trapped in supply chain queues. Their research momentum is literally paralyzed because they physically cannot get the hardware to run their experiments.
That is wild. Google, waiting in a line like the rest of us at the DMV. But speaking of the rest of us, let's pivot. Because while I definitely care about the future of AI, I also care about what sits under my TV in the living room. And this crisis isn't staying contained in the server room.
No, the blast radius is huge. And if you're a gamer, the news from the supply chain is pretty sobering.
We're talking about the PlayStation 6 and the next Xbox. The report mentions a delay until 2029.
That's what the deep supply chain analysts are seeing. The industry reports indicate that the hardware architecture for the next generation of consoles is severely compromised by this exact memory shortage.
Man.
Whispers of a 2029 launch have gone from just being pessimistic internet rumors to a highly probable, serious scenario.
That would make the current generation, the PS5 and the Series X, the longest console generation in history, wouldn't it?
By far. Usually we see a refresh every 6 or 7 years. This pushes it to nearly a decade. And it all comes down to the fundamental economic equation of the console business.
Right, because consoles are usually sold at a loss.
Yeah.
That's the golden rule of gaming hardware.
Exactly. That's the classic razor and blades model. Sony and Microsoft will sell you the box for $500, even if it costs them $600 to manufacture.
Yes.
They eat that $100 loss because they know they'll make it back when you buy Spider-Man 2. Or when you subscribe to Game Pass over the next 5 years.
So they hook you with the cheap hardware to sell the software.
Yeah, correct. But for the next generation to do what they promised, we're talking true 8K resolution, heavy hardware ray tracing, AI-driven NPCs that actually talk to you. They need a very specific, very fast type of memory called GDDR7.
And I'm guessing GDDR7 is invited to the exact same supply chain party that AI is currently crashing.
It's the exact same pressure. Because the AI data centers are devouring the global silicon and packaging supply, memory prices across the board are skyrocketing. The bill of materials, the sheer cost to just buy the parts for the console, is becoming unmanageable.
The report had some scary math on this, and I want to walk through it for you because it really highlights the problem beautifully.
It really does. If Sony tried to launch a PS6 in, say, 2027 or 2028, with the required 24 or 32 gigabytes of GDDR7 to make it feel truly next-gen, the cost of the memory alone would be hundreds of dollars.
Just for the memory. Not the processor, not the solid-state drive, not the plastic case.
Just the memory chips. If you add the custom processor, the storage, the massive cooling system you'd need, the shipping, you're looking at a retail price potentially over $1,000, maybe even
$1,200. $1,200 for a game console.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I mean, That's dead on arrival. Parents aren't putting a $1,200 box under the Christmas tree.
It's commercial suicide. The mass consumer market simply will not support that price point, so their only viable survival strategy is to wait.
Just wait it out.
They have to wait for the AI mania to cool down, for the production yields to improve, and for component prices to stabilize. Gamers are essentially paying the blood price for the AI revolution.
Man. So AI gets the fancy steak dinner, and gamers get to sit in the waiting room.
Pretty much.
But I want to dig a little deeper into the why here. We've talked about manufacturing and we've talked about packaging, but the sources actually provide a technical autopsy. Mm-hmm. Because this memory wall isn't just a supply chain issue, it is a fundamental physics issue.
Yes. This is where we have to take a step back and look at the history of computer science. There's a discrepancy that's been growing for decades. We all know Moore's Law, right?
Sure, the idea that chips get twice as fast or twice as dense every 2 years.
Exactly. Well, the logic transistors, the parts of the chip that do the math, the actual thinking, they did get exponentially faster. They shrunk down, they got faster, they got way more power efficient. But memory, the DRAM, it did not keep up.
So the brain evolved to be super fast, but its short-term memory is still sluggish?
Precisely. Memory latency and bandwidth improved, sure. But nowhere near the same exponential rate as the processors. So over the last 20 years, this massive gap opened up. And the result today is that modern processors spend a huge amount of their time doing absolutely nothing. They are idle. They're just sitting there waiting for the data to arrive from the RAM.
It seems like such a massive waste of potential.
It is. And it's a flaw in the very architectural design of our computers. We call it the von Neumann architecture. It's the standard design we've used since the 1940s, where the processing unit and the memory unit are physically separate. They live in different neighborhoods on the motherboard.
And the commute is killing them.
The commute is the fatal flaw. Every single time the processor needs a number to calculate, it has to send a request across the bus to the memory, wait for the memory to find it, and then wait for it to come all the way back. In computer time, which is measured in nanoseconds, that commute is an absolute eternity. It consumes time, and crucially, it consumes massive amounts of energy.
But haven't engineers tried to fix this? I mean, I hear the word cache all the time, L1 cache, L2 cache. Isn't that supposed to be the memory that lives right on the processor to save time? Why can't we just make the cache really huge?
That was the big attempt to fix it. Engineers tried to embed massive pools of SRAM static RAM directly onto the processor die to act as a local cache. And SRAM is incredibly fast.
Right.
But the report highlights exactly why that failed as a long-term solution. SRAM hasn't shrunk in physical size.
Wait, everything else in computing gets smaller, but SRAM doesn't?
Not effectively, no. It has severe density issues. A cell of SRAM takes up a lot of physical space compared to logic transistors. So if you want more cache on the chip, you have to physically make the entire silicon chip larger.
Okay, I see where this is going.
And making a silicon chip physically larger makes it astronomically expensive to manufacture. Plus, it makes it much more prone to defects.
Because if there's a microscopic flaw on the silicon wafer, the bigger the chip, the more likely you are to accidentally include that flaw in your chip.
Exactly. Your yields plummet. So we have officially hit a wall. We cannot simply cache our way out of this problem. The physics of density simply won't allow it.
So we have a physics problem, a delicate packaging problem, and a ballooning cost problem. And sitting on top of all of this, according to our sources, is a silicon oligarchy.
Yes. If you think the global oil market is tightly controlled by a few players, you should look at the memory market. It is not a free market. It is an oligarchy.
So who are the players? Who actually holds the keys to the castle here?
There are really only three companies in the entire world that possess both the technology and the patents to mass produce these ultra-fast memory arrays. You have SK Hynix in South Korea, Samsung, also in South Korea, and Micron in the USA. That is it.
The big three. And who is winning the race right now?
Right now, it's SK Hynix. They are the undisputed king of HBM. They saw this AI wave coming years ago and invested heavily in that Kawa stacking technology we talked about earlier.
Smart move.
Very smart. Today, they are the exclusive supplier for NVIDIA's top-tier chips. They are making absolute fortunes.
And I'm guessing this oligarchy dynamic is exactly why the gamers are losing out. It's about who the better customer is.
It's just basic economics for them. Imagine you were SK Hynix. You have two customers knocking on your door. Customer A is an AI hyperscaler, a massive company like Microsoft, Meta, or Google.
Right.
They are desperate. They are in a literal existential arms race to build the best AGI. They are willing to pay thousands of dollars per memory array without blinking.
And they probably pay all of it up front in cash.
Exactly. And then you have customer B, a console maker like Sony or Microsoft Xbox. They need millions of chips, sure, but they need to negotiate a steep bulk discount so they can sell a plastic box to consumers for $500.
Yeah, that's not a hard choice for SK Hynix at all.
Not at all. They prioritize the cash-rich hyperscalers. Consumer electronics simply get pushed to the back of the line. The oligarchy has zero incentive to offer bulk discounts right now when they can sell every single chip they manufacture at a massive premium to an AI company.
It really paints a stark picture of the current tech hierarchy, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The AI companies are the VIPs in the club, and everyone else is just standing out in the rain hoping to get in the door.
That is the harsh reality of the silicon landscape in 2026. The real power has shifted away from the people who design the smart processors over to the people who build the memory.
So let's bring this all together for you. What is the final verdict here? If we look at the main casualties of this memory wall.
Well, first, AI development is in what the report calls physical quarantine.
Right.
We have the software algorithms, we have the theoretical models for AGI, but we are physically limited by how fast we can stack and package memory. We are completely throttled by the hardware.
And casualty number two is the gaming industry.
Yes. Gaming is paying the blood price. We are looking at a stretched, decade-long console generation and a delay that will feel like an absolute eternity for fans who just want that true next-gen experience.
And the third casualty is the architecture itself,
mm-hmm.
the way we build computers.
The von Neumann architecture. It has served humanity incredibly well for over 70 years, but it has finally hit its physical limit. The commute between the processor and the memory is just too long. The future, if we actually want to break through this wall, has to be radical.
The report mentioned a couple of those radical ideas on the horizon, things like processing in memory and silicon photonics.
Right. Processing in memory, or PM, is exactly what it sounds like. Instead of constantly moving the data across the motherboard to the processor, you actually do the mathematical processing inside the memory chip itself. You completely eliminate the commute.
That feels like the obvious solution, doesn't it? Just stop moving the data.
It is obvious in theory, but completely re-architecting how a computer fundamentally thinks from the ground up is a massive, incredibly difficult challenge. And then there is silicon photonics.
Using light instead of copper wires.
Exactly. Instead of pushing electrical current through copper wires to transfer data, you use tiny lasers and light. Light is vastly faster, it generates almost zero heat, and it can carry exponentially more bandwidth.
That sounds like science fiction.
It does, but these are the technologies that will define the next era. Because the old way of doing things, pushing electricity through copper wires between separate chips, is done. We've pushed it as far as physics will allow.
It really completely changes how you look at a computer. We always obsess over the brain, right? The IQ of the machine.
Mm.
We brag about clock speeds and how many cores a CPU has. But this deep dive suggests that is entirely the wrong metric to care about.
That is exactly the final thought I want to leave everyone with. In this ruthless hardware landscape, looking ahead to 2026 and beyond, the ultimate victor isn't going to be the company with the smartest brain or the most raw processing power.
It's the one who can feed the beast.
Exactly. The future isn't about compute, it's about flow. It is entirely about who can transfer the data fast enough to keep the innovation moving. Because if you can't move the data, your billion-dollar supercomputer is really just a very expensive, very hot paperweight.
The future isn't about compute. It's about flow. I absolutely love that. It is a total reframe of how we value technology. But, you know, hearing you talk about eliminating that commute, doing the processing right where the memory lives, it actually brings up a provocative thought that wasn't in the reports.
Yeah.
But it feels like the logical endpoint of all this.
What's that?
Well, think about the one system we know of that doesn't use the von Neumann architecture. A system where compute and memory are literally the exact same thing, living in the exact same cells.
Ah, you're talking about the human brain.
Exactly. Biological wetware. If silicon and copper have hit a physical wall because we insist on separating memory from the processor, maybe the ultimate AI hardware of the future won't be silicon at all. Maybe breaking the memory wall means abandoning traditional computing entirely and growing biological computers that actually mimic human neural pathways.
Now, that is a terrifying and fascinating thought. If you want true flow, biology figured it out millions of years ago.
Exactly. Something for you to mull over as you wait for your tabs to load. And on that note, we're going to wrap up this deep dive. Hopefully, the next time you see a headline screaming about processor chips, you will pause and ask, but what about the memory? Thanks for listening, and we will catch you on the next one.
See you next time.